present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Alfred Marx in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you heard, we're delighted to welcome back to play the game against our three regular players, Alfred Marx. And once again, I'm going to ask them all to speak, if they can, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject which is on the card. And according to how well they do it, of course, they will gain the points, win or lose. We will start the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject being absolutely certain. I think you often are, but will you talk about that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
Being absolutely certain is all right when the subject is what is 1 and 2 and the answer is 3, or 4 and 6, which gives 10. And yet in the judiciary, judges, those sort of people, have very difficult jobs because now and again they would get a case of a man who stuck Green Shield stamps on his National Health Insurance card. And it's awfully hard to sentence him.
Alfred Marx has challenged.
Well, there's a hesitation.
Definitely. I would agree, Alfred. I think there was a hesitation. It was awfully dreary, too. And you have 30 seconds on being absolutely certain, having gained a point, of course, for a correct challenge, and you start now.
May I carry on with what Clement was about to say about the man who did stick green shirt?
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation has nothing to do with being absolutely certain.
Well, then you must have been awfully devious before, because you've just admitted it. There are 27 seconds for Alfred Marx to talk on being absolutely certain, starting now.
I will not be diverted from making my point. The man who put green shield stamps on his insurance card was hauled before the courts and he was fined 4 saucepans. Now, this is an absolute certainty, because if you do insist on...
Kenneth Williams has...
Deviation. He's just quoted something which is a total lie, a pack of lies, a tissue of untruths. And so it's devious in the extreme.
Right, quiet. I have no way of proving that this man ever did what he did or that
nothing like that would happen before an English court, and you know it.
It might
no
have
judge
done,
would even discuss it.
He never said it was an English court. It might have been a court somewhere else, in some tin pot place.
Indeed
in some,
it was.
Yes,
in
right.
In a tin pot place.
When I have an impossible decision like this, the only thing I can do is bow to the superior wisdom and judgment of the audience, and I can see a... And I can see some fine legal minds in the audience there, I'm sure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you agree with the basis of Kenneth Williams' challenge, will you cheer for him? And if you disagree, will you boo for Alfred Marx? And will you all do it together now? That man was never fined 4 saucepans for his green shield stamps. I'm terribly sorry, the audience are the final judges. Kenneth, the 4 saucepans gets you a point for a correct challenge. 15 seconds on being absolutely certain, starting now.
The title is ridiculous. You are either certain or you're not. There's no such thing as absolute certainty in a human world. I always am certain about things seen with my own eyes and about nothing else.
The whistle that Ian Messiter blows tells us 60 seconds is up. Whoever speaks at that moment gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Kenneth Williams, who has 2 points at the end of that round. He's in the lead with Alfred Marx. Clement Freud and Peter Jones have yet to score. Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? And the subject is what the Greeks had a word for. Will you talk on that for 1 minute, starting now?
It is a remarkable fact that in this modern world, i.e. the 20th century, doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists actually use Greek terms for a modern state. Now, you could say the Oedipus complex, you see, or the Narcissus. Where do they derive from? The ancient Greeks. And in mythology, there was this bloke who, desiring to have such intimate knowledge of himself, looked into the reflection in the water and, allegorically they say, drowned himself. Well, there was this girl who was standing nearby. She was deeply in love with him. She wouldn't eat a thing. She had no food, no drink, no nothing. And she just pined away, and only her voice stayed. And to this day, they call her Echo, because she was only, you know, she was... Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of Oshé, Oshé, Oshé.
Yes, but I was worked up.
which was also deviating from what the Greeks had a word for.
It's not deviating at all. Echo was in love with Narcissus.
Not Ushi, Ushi, Ushi.
That's neither here nor there. I mean, that was just, that's rotten, actually, if you draw attention to that, because that's an impediment. You should never draw attention to an impediment. Never should you.
It's the first time you've ever claimed...
There you are, that lady. Look at that lady. See.
It's the first time you've ever claimed you had an impediment.
Oh, Kevin. Clement Freud
has a correct challenge, and he has 3 seconds on what the Greeks had a word for, starting now.
What? He's left it to 3 seconds. That's it. It's right. He's left it to 3 seconds. Oh, he's got it. He's got it.
Kenneth Williams spoke during Clement Freud's 3 seconds. Nobody challenged Clement Freud for not saying anything. The whistle went, so Clement Freud gets the point for not speaking when the whistle went. Alfred, the subject is now with you, and it is how I impress my friends. Would you talk on that for 1 minute, starting now?
I impress my friends mainly by my tolerance, good manners, and sportsmanship. If I had a panel show where other people had to come on with me and had to interrupt me by deviation or hesitation, I would let the new boy have his say. I would not, in fact, buzz him on stupid things, as I have already had on this program. On the other hand, the title of impressed
Peter
friends...
Peter Jones has challenged you.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, I agree.
Yes.
Please, he agrees. It's nice, isn't it? We're all fairly unanimous about that, aren't we?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, yes. Even though he's a new boy, we're still unanimous. 38 seconds, Peter, on how I impress my friends, starting now.
I really don't know how I impress my friends.
Kenneth Williams has...
If he doesn't know what, he shut up, then.
Well, as that is not a correct challenge, he gets another point, and there are 35 seconds for you, Peter, on how I impress my friends, starting now.
How I impress my friends is a mystery to me, and I have no hope, really, of ever solving the problem, because I am not able to read my obituary notices to find out what they really thought.
Clement Freud's challenged twice.
Repetition was really.
Yes.
Really? I mean, really, yes. Yes,
yes, yes, I'm afraid really, so, yes. Clement, you have a correct challenge, and there are 22 seconds on how I impress my friends, starting now.
I impress my friends, namely...
Alfred Marx has challenged.
Well, no doubt about the hesitation.
Yes, and there are 20 seconds for you, Alfred, on how I impress my friends, starting now.
I have a joke that I have heard told many times before. It is about...
And Clement Freud has challenged.
It's repetition.
It is... But... That,
only,
of course,
only to me, not to the audience.
Yes, well, of course, the thing is, Alfred, that is repetition, if you've heard something many times before, but you didn't repeat yourself talking about how I impress my friends.
I did not, indeed.
14 seconds on how I impress my friends, starting now.
The best way to impress your friends is to have a telephone in your
and,
car.
And Kenneth Williams...
Deviation, that's not the subject. The subject said how I impress my friends. You just said how you should impress your friends.
Well, he said how he impresses his friends with the telephone in the bath. He has 12 seconds on how I impress my friends, Alfred, starting now.
May I correct you? It is not in the bath, it is in the car. And if you have...
And Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of car.
9.5 seconds, Clement, how I impress my friends, starting now.
Alfred Marx, Peter Jones, Nicholas Parsons, Ian Messiter, great names with which to...
Alfred Marx is challenged.
I don't count myself as one of his friends, it's deviation.
But on the other hand, he was only saying how he would impress his friends.
But he mentioned me. As one of his friends. I'm not one of his friends.
Oh, I see. All right, then, Alfred, you have 30 seconds on how I impress my friends, starting now. At the end of that round, Alfred Marx has taken the lead ahead
of Clement
Freud.
He's taking the lead?
Yes.
Good heavens above.
Peter, you're equal in third place with Kenny Williams, and you begin the next round, and the subject is whoppers.
Whoppers.
Yes, there's a lot to talk about on that subject, but would you go on it for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I shall just have to think of very big ones. Enormous they must be, like bridges, for instance, the Sydney Harbour one, and there's another, Firth of Forth. Oceans, the Pacific, the Atlantic, the things that swim in them, whales, and building-wise, of course, there is the Empire State Building, the telephone tower...
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of building.
Yeah, building-wise, Empire State Building, building-wise. Yes, I'm afraid you did repeat it, Peter. Clement has a correct challenge, 37 seconds. Whoppers, Clement, starting now.
When my aunt left me £43 million.
Peter Jones has challenged.
We know she didn't, or he wouldn't be here.
It's a very good challenge, but of course we know we have no means of proving 43 million. No, I'm sure she didn't. All right, Peter, I will give it to you. Can you justify it, Clement?
What is the subject?
Whoppers.
And you don't think saying my aunt left me 43 million pounds is a whopper?
Is there anybody in the audience who would like to become the chairman of Just a Minute?
Oh, it's a very common expression, you told a whopper.
I know, but he didn't know it was going to be a whopping lie. I thought it was, I think it's the chairman's prerogative to be able to change his mind when he knows he's wrong. Clement Freud, you have a wrong challenge against you. A point of 34 seconds on whoppers starting now.
In January 1984, I walked down Piccadilly, which had been dug up.
Alfred Marx has challenged.
There will be no Piccadilly in 1984. I've seen the plans.
But he's trying to show us... that he is telling another whopper.
Doesn't matter. I mean, a whopper must have some semblance of reality.
Yeah,
otherwise,
I would have
thought it is
so,
totally
yes.
unbelievable.
And it's certainly unbelievable 1984.
Absolutely.
And you can't say when.
I quite agree with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you convinced me. There are 28 seconds on whoppers, Alfred, starting now.
In 1674, if you tended to walk down Piccadilly, you might find, in fact, that it will not exist in the year 1984. And that's, by the way.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of 84.
20 seconds on whoppers, Clement, starting now.
A whopper is a name given to a huge or monumental lie, also an untruth, but sometimes simply an exaggeration. For instance, you might call on someone and say, "This is by far the largest building that I've ever seen outside the civilized world and go to three."
Clement Freud then, speaking when the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he's now taking the lead over Alfred Marx. Clement, your turn. Subject, stupidity. 60 seconds starting now.
I've never tried to stupidity. But if you do go into a butcher shop and say, "I would like 3/4 of a pound of pidity and 1 pound of onions..."
Alfred Marx, a challenge.
Both hesitation and deviation, I would say.
Which one are you going for?
Both.
You're playing safe. I can only accept one. Which one do you
want?
Well,
it was hesitation.
Yes, all right. I wouldn't have given deviation. Alfred, you have 49 seconds on stupidity starting now.
The height of stupidity was for me to press my buzzer just now to interrupt Clement Freud, because I really don't know what on earth I'm going to say about this subject.
Peter Jones has challenged you.
If he doesn't know what he's going to say, there's no point in going on with it.
What is your challenge, then?
Waste of time, isn't it?
Waste of time. Yes, yes. Valuable airspace is being wasted.
But he wasn't deviating from stupidity, Peter, so he keeps the subject and there are 30...
He was demonstrating it, actually.
Well, you can demonstrate as well, if you like. There are 42 seconds on stupidity, Alfie, starting now.
The height of stupidity was an instant I saw.
And Clement Freud got in there.
Repetition of height.
Yes, you said it before, I'm afraid, Alfred.
Did I really?
Yes.
You're supposed to say it, you said I could say it 4 times. I can't say it 4 times.
Not the height of stupidity. You said
no.
The height of stupidity
did I?
Before. Yes.
I see, yes.
You said the subject of the card more than
thank
once.
Thank you very much.
You've probably forgotten you said it because it wasn't very memorable.
No.
Remind me to be unkind to you sometime, Peter Jones.
Thanks,
I get
very
a chance.
Much.
There are 39 seconds with you, Clement, on stupidity starting now.
When I did history at school, I always remember being asked the dates of the kings and queens of England, which started with Henry IV, 1826, Queen Mary, 1903, George VIII, 1200.
And Peter Jones has got in there.
Queen Mary, 1911, not 1903.
You're both wrong, but it was deviation from the correct date.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was...
And George VIII?
I thought it was manifest stupidity.
Oh, you were demonstrating everything. Yeah, it was manifest stupidity, but it was, afterwards call it more ignorance than stupidity. And the subject is stupid. You can be stupid, but not ignorant. There are 24 seconds, Pete, on stupidity, starting now.
It's a very difficult thing to cope with in oneself, and perhaps even more so in others. And goodness knows I've had a great deal of experience of this, battling against...
Kenneth Williams has
charged. Deviation. The whole thing's ludicrous. He says it's a difficult thing to cope with. Anyone who's stupid wouldn't be coping with it, because that's why they are stupid. They wouldn't be coping with anything, would they? They're just stupid.
No, but
the assumption would have to be that they were intelligent to cope with anything. I mean, it's daft. He's talking a load of rubbish.
No.
Thank you very much indeed, Clement. I'm glad you're concerned. He's been waffling away and challenging the chairman most disgracefully, calling him rude names and the other. Well, I mean, he comes here, and there's me waiting to discuss something.
Kenneth,
goodness gracious.
You've said quite a lot now. Would you mind keeping quiet? Right. Because I got the impression that he was saying how you would handle stupidity in others. So he wasn't deviating. He has 12 seconds on stupidity, Peter, starting now.
We often get wrong numbers on the phone, and the other day it rang. I picked it up. A voice said, "Is that you?" I said, "No, it's me." And he said, "Is she there?" It was just too ludicrous for words.
Well, Peter was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained a number of points in that round. He's moved forward, but I'm afraid he's still in third place behind our leaders, Alfred Marx and Clement Freud. Kenneth is trailing a little in fourth place.
Small wonder the way you conduct the game. You haven't had a chance to play it.
Kenneth, the subject is now with you, and it is the man in the street. Would you go for that for 1 minute, starting now?
Well, there was a man in the street, I am told, who went up to the Duke of Wellington and said, "Are you him?" And, oh, no, I forgot what he did say.
Alfred Marx is challenged.
Well, it's hesitation,
I am afraid
of. I didn't hesitate. I was going on.
Well,
you didn't.
On, yes, you were rather going on.
There are 50... There are 51 seconds on the man in the street with you, Alfred, starting now.
It always bores me when television interviewers go up to the man in the street and ask his opinion on things which are totally out of his range. He knows nothing at all about the subject. Fancy asking a man in the street what he thinks of the price of Afghanistan eggs. And this man comes up with some erudite answer. What I prefer to ask the man in the street is to walk to him and say, "Would you give me a shilling for a cup of coffee?" To which he may reply, "It's only 6 pence." And you say, "I know, but I like to tip big." On the other hand, you might say, "Would you give me 2 shillings for a sandwich?" And he'll say, "I don't know, let me see it." All these sort of things make sense to me, and I would rather that you walked up to talk to a man.
Peter Jones has challenged.
A repetition of a man.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
It's a different man.
It's actually on the card, man in the street.
It's only part of it. I mean, that's
only
subject
part of the
man.
He only spoke to part of the man. He only spoke to his ear.
But there are all those.
It's a different man, actually.
I know it's a different man, but there's all those shillings, weren't there?
Well, it was a big sandwich.
It was all those shillings.
I have a friend in the audience, he said, "Yes, yes." Every time you challenge me, every time you give me a downvote, she's saying, "Yes, yes, yes, yes."
I know, we have a very partisan
audience. It's my gut, she does all this, she does really. Oh, sorry, Kenneth, I'll be fine.
That lot over there, sitting on that side, that's the Kenneth Williams fan club.
I see.
Peter Jones, will you talk on the man in the street? The 17 seconds left, starting now.
It's generally accepted that this is the average represented.
Kenneth Williams, is he challenged?
Deviation is not generally accepted.
As a figure of speech, I think you could say it is. And there are 13 seconds on the man in the street with you, Peter, starting now.
So, people are natural.
And Kenneth Williams...
Hesitation.
Yes, Kenneth, you have 12 seconds on the man in the street, starting now.
Of course, this is a ludicrous term.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of ludicrous. He said it was ludicrous before.
You said it was ludicrous right at the start, Kenneth. I'm very sorry when you started on the man in the street.
This is worse than being bugged, isn't it?
Yes. 10 seconds on the man in the street, Peter, starting now.
If they can once ascertain his tastes and preferences, then they can...
Clement Freud has challenged.
You were bored. You were naturally bored.
He was very bored. He was dropping off, and in dropping off, though, he touched his buzzer. You can't blame him. He was dropping off. He's come a long way. He's very tired. I don't want to listen to all this boring rubbish.
That's exactly what happened.
Exactly what happened. Yes. He suddenly thought he hadn't said anything new.
No, on the call. That's where you're very wrong.
He challenged. And hoping in the time that I turned round that he would have time to think of a challenge. He failed. 4 seconds with you, Pete, on the man in the street, starting now.
When is he going to come indoors and create some trouble?
Uh, A very interesting situation has arisen in the score. Kenneth Williams is still in fourth place. Clement Freud is just, because he dozed off a bit, in second place. He's 1 point behind Alfred Marx and Peter Jones, who are now in the lead together. Peter has made a surge forward. Alfred, here's a nice subject that Ian Messett has thought of for you. It's your turn to begin, by the way. Being frank. Would you talk about that 60 seconds, starting now?
There were two chaps, and one said to the other, I'll be frank, and he said, no, I'll be frank. You were frank last night. And this sort of joke lends credence to the belief that this sort of thing can be said. However, I am a philatelist, which is obviously somebody who adores stamps, and as such, my interest in being frank are the francs that go on stamps. I don't know whether you appreciate the fact that there are very different kinds and many, many of them. For example, there are
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition of many.
Yes, there are too many.
Well, there are very many of them.
Yes. But you've got to find a different way of saying it.
I must learn to stop that, yes.
Yes. Yes,
yes. All right, then.
Tremendous.
No, I can't. No.
There are 35 seconds, Peter, on being frank, starting now.
It's something that's not easy to do. You have to bare your soul and reveal your innermost thoughts. And, of course, it's often excruciatingly boring for those who are unfortunate enough to have...
And Alfred Marx's challenge.
I just agree, it is excruciatingly boring.
But it's a wrong challenge, so Peter gets another point and you're neck and neck,
so watch
it.
It was a comment, actually, not a challenge.
It was what?
A comment, actually, not a challenge.
Yes, but if you challenge and interrupt his flow,
yes,
it's a point because it's incorrect. And
yes, I don't even know his flow. I beg your pardon.
You better watch out for it, because... His flow has put him in the lead now.
Is that right?
Yes.
Where is she?
You're going to get a taste of his flow in a minute.
Promises, promises.
All right, Peter. You have 22 seconds on flow. I'm sorry. There are 22 seconds to talk on the subject of being frank, Peter, starting now.
Psychiatrists and judges often beg one to be frank, and...
Kenneth Wims, a
deviation,
judge.
Deviation, they don't. They ask you to be truthful. Frank has nothing to do with that.
Well, they might ask you to be frank. They certainly would ask you to be truthful.
It does not mean being truthful. And when you're giving evidence,
but
what a judge is asking
for is
the truth.
He never said it meant the same thing. He was not deviating from being frank.
Of course it is. What judges ask you to be. Judges don't ask. Ask to tell the truth, dear.
They may ask you to tell the truth, but I met a judge in private the other day, and he said, would you be frank with me? And I was. Tell you something else. He's sitting in the audience tonight. And he said, no, I'll be frank tonight. And I'm sure... I'm sorry, let's get on with the game. We're all being too facetious tonight. Peter, I disagree with Kenny's challenge, so you have a point, and you have now 16 seconds, and I must warn you all, this is the last round. Peter's taken the lead, Alfred is just behind, Clement's just behind him. It's a very insidious game, and Kenny's behind them. 16 seconds, starting now.
I know, because a judge once said to me, frankly, it is a crime to manufacture alcohol in private, and it is a misdemeanor to make water in public. Now, this was quite different and has nothing whatsoever to do.
What a lovely note to finish this particular game of Just a Minute. So to give you the final score, Kenneth Williams finished, alas, in fourth place. And, because it doesn't matter where Kenneth finishes, he always contributes so much. Clement Freud finished only just in third place, 1 point behind Alfred Marx, but they both finished, Alfred and Clement, a long way behind this week's winner, who surged from the rear to take a well-deserved victory, Peter Jones.
Thank you, Pam.
We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again at the same time next week when once again we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.